Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I can finally hear someone now.
Hi, this is Cynthia. I'm going to be on mute. How you doing, Mr. Charles?
Okay. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Blessed. Very blessed. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Amen. So I'm going to be on mute for a while, but I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for listening.
Amen. Thank you.
Hello. Preacher man, we ready to get started? Hello, Brother Hunter. Brother Hunter.
Charles?
Yes, sir. I've been waiting on you.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. I want to thank Brother Hunter for the opportunity to speak. I have a few things to share with you tonight that won't take long like I don't usually do. And, I want to talk about grace, mercy, and love tonight. Mostly grace. I was given this message last week. I told Brother Hunter first part of last week, so I'm ready for next week, Brother Hunter. So I already have the message you want me to give. It won't take long. So what is grace? We'll start off like this here. Grace is a gift from our Heavenly Father, given through His Son, Jesus Christ. The word grace, as used in the Scriptures, refers primarily to enabling power and spiritual healing offered through the mercy, compassion, and love of Jesus Christ. No one can stand in the presence of God without divine grace. Grace is, like I said, freely given. I'm going to repeat that again, freely given. Simon the sorcerer was trying to buy the power that Paul then was demonstrating, he can make money off of. And Paul said, it was freely given to me, I'll freely give it to you. Paul knew it couldn't be earned. It's an unmerited favor of God, not for sale, cannot be earned. I'm going to say it again, freely given, favor and love of God. Grace is the influence of spirit, influences our spirit, of God operating in all humans who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It is the comforter Jesus asked of God for us who believe in Him. Grace renews or strengthens all of us who follow Jesus. Grace is our virtue or a power that is so excellent it is of a divine, godly origin. It is, I'm going to say it again, of our Heavenly Father. What does it mean to have grace in your heart? It means gracefully or godly letting things go that are not meant for a Christian. Things such as hate. If you have hate in your heart, you can't be a Christian. You have envy in your heart, can't be a Christian. If you have strife in your heart, you need to call yourself something else besides a Christian. If you have jealousness in your heart, you need to call yourself something else besides a Christian. It means going beyond our thoughts, So trying to get the upper hand, as we always try to do with somebody to do us harm, or revenge on someone who hurt you. Having grace in your heart, soul, and spirit is choosing to be God-like. Jesus said when he was the Word, he said these words, "We are gods. We are gods." And it's time that we act like we were gods. What are the benefits of grace? Grace brings a peace that surpasses all understanding. We are healed by grace. Grace heals our broken heart. I know when I was 16 years old, my first love of my life, she left me for someone else. Oh, it hurt. It hurt. But the grace of God healed me in time. I always have and I always will. Grace is our beautiful, sweet son. Grace is the light that shines in the darkness. We are saved by grace, according to the scriptures. Grace is our dance when everybody else is sad and feeling lonely and hurt and don't understand. A Christian will always stand out because he's got to dance in his heart, a dance in his soul, a dance in his spirit. That's grace. Only grace can do that for you. The only way to God and heaven is through the doorway of grace, Jesus. There's no other way except through Jesus. There are other teachings out there that says there are other pathways to God. But my Bible tells me different. My Bible tells me same thing Jesus said, and only Jesus is the door. I believe my Bible. The word grace is found at least 171 times in Scripture. First mentioned in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse, and it says this: "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Mercy is mentioned 273 times. Love 310 times. 131 times in the Old Testament, and 179 times in the New Testament. That's what all the experts say, so I'm just repeating what the experts say. I find it a lot in the scripture about myself. Grace, mercy, and love are three interchangeable parts. Most verses that start out with love can start with grace, the word grace. Most verses that start with grace can start with love, mercy. They are interchangeable. If you have anything in your heart, soul, or spirit besides one of those three things, I suggest you call yourself something else. You're not a Christian. You're not crystallizing Christ. You're not a follower of Christ. That's just the truth of it. I say harsh things, but what I say is the truth. Somebody told me to tone it down some. Well, I take my lead after Jesus. Jesus didn't tone nothing down. Matter of fact, he got louder. He got louder with his sins. But he said, "I want to say what the Father has told me to say. Everything I say and do is of the Father. Everything I say and do might not agree with it, but everything I say and do, I can back up in the Bible. I can back up with the Holy Ghost." And having said that, I'm done. I'll be the last back to the preacher, man. If there's anyone out there that has something to say, now's the time. Voice your opinion about it. You're the preacher, man. Hello? Brother Hunter, we seem to have a problem with the line tonight. It's a bad connection somewhere. Brother Hunter. Brother Hunter. Is there anyone out there? Yes, ma'am.
I was on mute. I was listening to you. You had said, I just want to understand, you had said that initially, if a person didn't have a particular thing, then they wouldn't be a Christian. If you don't have grace, then you're not Christian, but you're something else. Is that what you were saying?
That's what I'm saying. If you don't have grace, if you don't have grace of God in your heart, grace leads us to all truth and all paths. That's the comforter. And if you got anything else in your heart, if you got hate, envy, jealousness, strife, anything that's not Christ-like, Christ didn't have any of that in his heart, any of that in his spirit. And we're supposed to be, that's what Christian means, to be crystallized in Christ, Christ-like, right? And if we got these things in our heart, holding it there, won't let go of it, that iniquity that, like King David said, only God can remove. If you don't cry out to God and continue to hold those things in your heart, you're not a Christian. That's just the truth of it. That's the way it is. I stand on the Bible, and the Bible will back me up. Those that hurt Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't hold it against them. There's a lot of things that happen in my life I don't like. But I talked to a brother man more than I talked to anybody else. I said I had to let it go because I call myself a Christian. I don't try to defend myself. I learned that years ago. The more you try to defend yourself, the worse things get. Just let them talk. One man told me, you don't look like a Christian. You don't sound like a Christian. So what am I supposed to look like when I'm supposed to sound like? I ain't got this little holy look and try to have this little holy sanctified voice. I am what God made me. But I know I've seen miracles God has worked in my life. I know I don't hold no envy. A woman told me that the other week. She talked with a lot of hate. No, I don't. I don't hate anybody. I'm going to give you a scenario that happened to me, a true event. I was 5 years old. My mama sent me to the commissary store on the plantation, Turpentine Plantation. I was sold down on the ground, and a man took his penis out and to pee on me. Then another white man stopped him, Mr. Irvin Turner stopped him. The same man who grew up in my hometown was an old man trying to cross the street, blind, almost blind. You know what I did? He recognized me, scared to death. I said, sir, whatever happened years ago is on you. You need help through this traffic. I helped him through the traffic to save him to the other side. And I can tell you 100 more counts like that that's happened to me. I don't hold no hate. Hate is like rocking in a rocking chair. It's something to do, but it don't get you nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? Envy and strife and all of those things the same way. They won't get you nowhere, but it's like diabetes. You raise your eyes up in hell when you leave this world. And I got a saying, I'm not going to be born in a hell, live in a hell as a black man, and die and go to hell. I got more sense than that. I got more grace in me than that. I got more God in me than that. I hope that helped you a lot. Some of them anyway.
Amen, amen. Thank you. I understand where you're coming from. Thank you for your testimony too, because that was personal, you know. And right. I admire you for being able to have no hatred in your heart toward people. I myself have had hatred in my heart toward people. I'm just being honest with you. I have had it because.
Yes,
I have been hurt just like you, you know, and everybody else on this line. I have had hatred in my heart, and at one point I didn't even know I had it. I knew I disliked the person. I knew that I wasn't gonna do anything, go out to, you know, I didn't have a revengeful heart where I'm gonna go and get you. You know what I mean? I didn't have that type of heart.
Right.
I didn't have a heart that I wish bad on you or you know, I wasn't that type of person. I just would basically stop fooling with you, period. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to open myself up to allow you to keep mistreating me if I was able to not be up under it. You know what I'm saying? But
yes, ma'am.
It with you, that might be a special gift God has given you. But I do know for me that I had to go through some deep forgiveness because I realized that on different levels with different things and with different people, I had some bitterness and some resentfulness, and I didn't realize that I had it until God showed it to me. You know what I mean? And then I had to go through, you know how they say you have an onion, it's many layers. I had to go through layers of it being peeled back. Sometimes the onion can be peeled back all the way in one shot, and I'll be totally good and forgiving them and everything. And some things I'm still trying to, you know what I mean, still trying to forgive them on it. But I'm just saying, for me, I am a Christian as well. I see myself as a Christian and have been for a long time. But I cannot say that I don't have hatred in my heart anymore. God has removed that. But
amen.
I have had bitterness. And this is the thing. I still have some unforgiveness that I'm still working on. You know what I'm saying? But that don't make me not be a Christian. It's because I'm a Christian that I'm working on it. If I wasn't, then I wouldn't be working on it.
You realize it, right?
Amen.
But to realize the thorns in your flesh, like I talked about my thorns in my flesh, right? When you realize there's a thorn there, heaven is just the closest trip to your knees. Forgiveness is. That's how far heaven is from you. Trip to your knees and you in heaven. I've learned these things. My people was raised on my mama's side. They were very poor people. My grandfather dipped turpentine for a living. Hard living for a few pennies a day. But that old man didn't have no hate in his heart towards nobody, and that's who raised me. He said, forgive him, forgive him, forgive him. His whole word was forgive, forgive, forgive. You hold on, you know what he said all the time? That old saying, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to God's unchanging hand, Bo. Tell me that all the time. He called me Bo Dealer because I stutter real bad. I have to wiggle to get my words out. So he named me Bo Dealer after the blues singer. I used to wiggle a lot trying to talk.
Bo Dealer, okay.
And he told me that I've had some great uneducated teachers in man's learning. But in God's spirituality, I had some great teachers. Forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we Christians, matter of fact, his grandfather was founding a Methodist church, Grandpa Small did. You know, I've had some great teachers. My whole family, during the time I was born in Hard Time, that song Stevie Wonder wrote Hard Time, Mississippi, that's where I was born, man, when that song hits home. Every word he's saying is true. A black man in Mississippi have more sense than many, but he can't let it be shown that he's smarter than a white man down south. You can't let that show, because they don't like that. A black man that's smarter than them, they hate that. I've lived through those times, man, and I'm just telling you the truth about it.
Right.
You know, it's hard in Mississippi. It's hard in any man or woman born in the deep south. This is southwest. I'm talking about the deep south. I can tell you about the hatred down there. If we can't beat them with bullets, we can't. They got more guns than us. They make the guns, they make the bullets. So who can we beat them with? God. That's what I was taught. Beat them with God. Beat them with God at first. I'm 6'4½". I weigh today be 280 pounds. And I don't brag. I just thank God for the big body he gave me. And it still look real good because I lift weights all the time. I walk around more confrontations. I walk around more. I always have, always will. I ain't got to prove I'm a big old tough black man and know how to fight. I know I am. I ain't got to prove it. So I walk around a lot of confrontations. I think all the time about what would Jesus do. Now, if you bag me up in a corner, ain't got no way out, I can't go no further, I'm coming out with my fangs and my claws bared, and I'm going to do some harm to you if I have to. But if you just let me walk away in peace, I'd rather walk away in peace and not be called a punk and a whole lot of names that can't be repeated on this show. If you say so, I'm trying to let you see another day. If you say so.
Mm-hmm.
I was special ops trained. I was trained by living legends in Nome. Living legends trained me by special ops. I know how to do a lot of harm to people if I choose to. I choose not to. What does it prove? I beat something up, some fool I beat down. What would it prove? So walk around. That's how I feel about things.
Well, you are very
go
fortunate.
Ahead and talk, you're doing a great job. Go ahead and finish it up.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Talk some more.
I was just going to say you were very fortunate because, you know, a lot of people nowadays don't have those grandparents and parents to plant those seeds in them at an early age. And with him telling you to forgive at such an early age, it gave you the opportunity to have that planted in you and then opportunity for you to practice that in your life, you know, because there are people, you know, who are 80 and 90 who never learned how to forgive, and they just go into the grave with so much hatred and bitterness, you know, in their heart. I've seen people on their deathbed, and they will fight to not forgive, and they will fight to go take their last breath and not repent in any way, and knowing that they have done some things wrong, not that they were, you know, worse thing, but that not that they were perfect either. And there are some people who will hold on that to that and take it to the grave. So you were fortunate to be able to do that. So if you were to tell someone who may never have ever been told that or never ever learned how to do that, is there a way or a process that you keep yourself from not developing hatred or bitterness or whatever the other things are? How would you explain that to me if I had never ever learned how to let go of it? I mean, it got to be more than just saying it. You know what I mean?
Right. I'll tell you this here. Like I told you, my mama prayed for me to be back a lot of prophets in the Bible showing me big and strong like Samson, the judge. I'm going to be like Samuel, Moses. I'm going to help lead my people. She knew the bondage we was in. My whole family know we Hebrews or we Israelites. My whole family know that. And she prayed for me to be a Moses to help lead my people out of this sleep, this slumber that they in. And she knew that she was living a righteous life. The whole family was messed up and seen. But when she found out she was pregnant with me, like she said, a man child, I got on my knees and I prayed for God so that somebody come up in the family that's a righteous person that lead us, the family, out of this darkness. Some evil demon set up in our family years ago, and there's some horrible things going on in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible things. And my mama knew she wasn't living right, and none of the people living right. So she prayed for me to be like certain people in the Bible, Moses, Samson, King David. She loved him, loved King David, loved Samuel. She loved Nathan because she said, I want you to be able to tell somebody, no matter who it is, Nathan could have been put to death by King David, but he walked up to the king and said, gave him that parable about the one you and the many you's, and said he killed the one you. And David said, who is it I haven't put to death this day? Like I done told before, so Samuel stuck that old long bony arm out and that bony thing out. I said, David, it's you. It's you, David. That's what she was. I talk to anybody, tell them anything I got to tell them, and ain't afraid of the consequences. If I'm telling you the truth led by the Holy Ghost, I'm just going to tell you what the Holy Ghost led me to tell you. And that's just it. That's the way I am. And I, brother man can tell you, and brother Bobby can tell you, I can sell Christian correction too. I can accept that because brother man led me to mother Bobby. She prayed for me that day. In the next 5 minutes, she had a big hammer out here. Her and the preacher man had a big hammer out, beat me all across my body, beat me up that day. They prayed for me to pray for me and turn around and beat me up with scripture. So I can accept Christian correction. If you call yourself a Christian, you can't accept Christian a correction. You need to think about that. A lot of people ask you, who are you to talk to me like that, especially these reverend pastors? They're above a correction. A lot of my notes are above a correction. I say, I'm a man of God, just like you. And what you're doing is wrong. But they call it, they got the band, that reverend. And I say, you look up the word reverend and apply it to most men that's in the pulpit today. It don't see it. It don't see it. I call them brother or pastor, but I ain't call them reverend. The only person I know is speak three: God is reverend, Jesus is reverend, and the Holy Ghost is reverend. That's it. So now, if you can't accept Christian correction, you need to call yourself something else. Because in King David, it was Christianity when he even bought on the scene, but he had Christian character. When Nathan said this year, what did he do? Fall on his face, prostrated himself. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. That's what God do for a Christian, a believer, that calls out, sincerely calls out to him. But then God tells a lot of us that calls out to Christians, he tells us what to do. And we won't do it because we don't want to let it go, that hate, that envy, that jealousy, and that strife. Like you said, you have seen it. There was a die and go to hell on to that last breath and to forgive somebody. And it's a sad thing, like I said. My grandfather taught me that phrase I just told you. Why be born in hell, live in hell, and die and go to a hell? Don't make no sense.
Not at all. I like
that. So I hope that helps some. I see a lot of words.
Well,
I hope
but,
I help some. I hope it's something there.
I'm still trying to find out how you keep yourself from, or are you saying because it's just in you because of the way your mom prayed over you and for you? Maybe that's what you were saying. I'm just wondering how you.
I tell brother man all the time, I'm a product of prayer. My family's drunks. I got children that drink. I have grandchildren that drink. I don't drink. Alcoholism on both sides of the family. The Sims and the Turners on my daddy's side, excuse me, they're lovable drunks. They like to hug and kiss on you when they get drunk. But on my mama's side, the Williams and the Pattons and the Jacksons, they cut each other up and kill each other. Literally kill each other. I seen one of them get killed, a first cousin kill another first cousin over 50 cents.
Oh, Lord.
They cut each other up and they take 200-300 stitches to sew each other back up. They hate the drunks, and I didn't want to be like them. So at an early age, I keep telling them, I can share a lot of stuff that happened to me before school age when they beat my great-grandmama, Uncle Charlie, Uncle Stick, and Uncle Willis, her three boys. She was a drunk. She taught them boys how to drink, and they were nasty. They passed. When they got drunk, they cussed and clowned, and one night she was talking real nasty at them, so they beat them. They beat their mama. They broke her right on her nose. Her nose was under her right eye, tore off hanging on her right eye. Her right eye was bulging out of her head, and her lip was just all stomped out. And the only excuse they could give for doing that, oh, we was drunk. And I went out to the truck. A white man took us over there, and I went out to his truck and got in the truck. Before I was 6 years old, I started praying, Lord, I don't want to be like my people. I just kept saying it over and over and over. And I know what the blood will do for you. Like they were talking about the blood, about the virus. I know what the blood of Jesus will do for you. It's kept me from being a drunk. It kept me from being hateful. It kept me from being envious, holding that stuff inside. It kept me from doing all of that. I've been a praying child since an early age, and I'm not bragging. I know what prayer would do for you. I tell anybody, get on your knees or by your spirit. You ain't got to get on your knees, just by your spirit and pray. And sincerely pray, meaning when you pray. And it'll happen. That's how I keep myself covered, man, daily. I learned like Paul said, we call ourselves when we first get baptized and say, oh, I'm a Christian, Paul said. I learned and asked him, oh, really, already? Paul taught us it's a daily journey, the steps we take. Paul teaches us from what I done gathered out of him, said we become a Christian when we cross over into glory. That's the final step to being united as a Christian. But it's a daily thing I do.
Yeah.
I understand a lot of times I can be in a crowd of people and be praying. You never know I'm praying. I pray a lot. That's how I keep myself, because I know the bloodlines that's in me. The bloodlines is there to do some evil things. Evil things. So I pray the blood. I pray the blood all the time. That's what keep me the way I am, man.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it helps some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you said something real important about praying and how you went off to a, if you will, you went off to a secluded place like Jesus did in Gethsemane, and you prayed in that truck. I think you said that white truck. And you said that, and that's so important. You said pray, you know, humble your spirit down, you know, bow your spirit down before the Lord, and that's so important. And I think what's important too is to pray over these children, our next generations, just like your mom prayed for you from the womb. I have often encouraged women and
fathers of the families and also other people I just spoke with to pray over those babies before they even get here. Once that life has started, you know about it, you start praying about it.
Amen.
And I've encouraged like my sister and her husband to pray over there a little bit. They got a little bitty kids.
Amen.
And I say pray over them when y'all getting ready to leave the house and go to school and they going to school and y'all going to work, pray over them. And I said to the dad, you can give them the priestly blessing, you know, every morning, you know, and they will remember that and that will cover them and carry them. And I think that that's something that we kind of have, in a sense, gotten away from, is praying over. And even, you know, like our loved ones, you know, like, you know, I don't do it all the time, but especially when God prompts me, I'll pray over a family member if I happen to be at a family dinner or something. You know what I mean?
Amen.
I may give them a hug, and in that hug, there's a prayer. They don't
Amen.
Have to know I don't pray for them, but it's a prayer. But we got to start, especially when you are, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to say, you know, God is really close to you, and you know what he's done for you and what he's kept you from. So that would be something that, you know, what you could pray over your family members about, even though that alcoholism has already traveled, he can still break it in their age,
Amen.
Whatever age they are. And you can
Amen.
Pray against that for the next generations that are coming down the line, because if God can do it for you, then it can be done for your whole entire family. My belief. And for mine, too. And mine, too. My family, too, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
you can pray all you want to, but the family members, see, most of my families don't went the apostate way. They believe the New Age teaching, that there's no hell, everybody's going to heaven, and you can do what you want to do anytime you want to do and still get into heaven. They believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality, lesbianism, and all kind of ungodly things is set up shop in my family. And my sister went to church one day, and her pastor was teaching on it. Came back and told me, and she was tired telling me and all of my children is going to heaven. Her oldest son is bisexual. Her middle child, homosexual. Her baby's bisexual, and she was bisexual. You don't know what you're talking about here. Now, here I should believe this, how she based things. Because I ain't never been on TV like Carlton Pearson. He's telling the truth. You ain't never been on TV. I said, you know what? You stand with Carlton Pearson, and I'm going to stand with God. And then we will see in judgment. People first want to come out with their revelation. There's no hell. And everybody follow suit. The New Age preachers follow suit behind them. That the devil, they even teaching that the devil ain't real now. So, okay, believe that mess. I'm going to live with the Bible. The Bible is my roadmap on how to live this life, to walk through this life. I'm going to depend on God's word. You depend on anybody else you want to. I'm going to count on God being right at the end.
Yeah. And that's the hardest you've got to pray
to. Man, I can pray all I want to. And you know, if they don't let go of some of them things, I'm trying to come to realization that God is God and Carlton Pearson is just a man under the influence of the devil or some other demon, a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't realize that, it's on them. They laugh
right.
at me most of the time. So my teachers I give in my family, I'm called crazy. Well, but y'all know he crazy. Jesus' family said the same thing about him. But did he say a prophet is without honor in his own hometown, in his own country?
That's right.
Won't one of my family come to him be teach.
But then
probably
that's why. But what I realize is with that scripture is what God taught me is, pray that somebody else won't be able, that they can receive from. Because that's another thing
Amen.
About us as people, and not just us as people, meaning people who are Christian and people who are not, but even among the Christians. That's one thing about us that I don't really care for among us, but it's true for us. We decide who we want to receive from and who we don't want to receive from.
Amen.
We do
Amen.
That all the time.
Thank
Instead
you.
Of trying to receive what God is saying through whoever he's sending it, we want to decide who we going to send it through. And that person be giving us correct, straight, biblical facts that's not, you know, weaving around the word or bringing lies in there. But because, you know, I grew up with them, or because, you know, I don't like, you know, what they have on, or you know, all that other stuff, we will decide who we want to receive from. And that to me is just not a, I don't know even how to describe it. It's just not
a
very sound thing to do.
I'm going to describe it for you. It's a biased disposition. You choosing a side. And Jesus, from the readings I read about Jesus and his 12 disciples, they look like a group of vagabonds, tramps and everything.
Mm-hmm.
One man described them like that, dust and dirty from the road, you know, traveling. So he looked like he was the leader of a group of vagabonds, him being the main vagabond. But look where it came out of his mouth. He opened his mouth up and spoke.
Like
that, see that we judge and accept and how people look and sound, and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. If God can make a donkey speak, if God can make a donkey speak to a king, if he can make a donkey speak, don't you think he can use a man or a woman that don't look like what you think he should look like or be like? Don't you think he can use us?
Yeah.
That's how I get back at him. If the donkey can speak in the name of the Lord, why can't I? No. What was it, Balaam, when he went to the, it was in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
When the donkey told him what he had to tell him, said, don't you see?
Well, that donkey saved his life.
The donkey saw the angels. Donkey saw the angels, but they did.
You know, I mean, he used the donkey, you know, he spoke through the donkey, but that saved his life, you know. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. There you go. He used the donkey to speak. If he can do that, can't he use me if I'm tall and ugly, as they say, or short and fat, or whatever my disposition is, the body gave me, and my looks? Can't he use me? You know what I'm saying?
Anybody.
Thank you. Right. Somebody got something out of the night, sister. You did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another thing that I got was just to be steadfast and continue praying for our families and for my family, because I know I do grow weary sometimes because it's so close to the heart, because you grew up with them.
But I do
need to continue being steadfast, you know, in prayer. And I know to do that. You know, I know to do that. But sometimes, you know, we get weary. But I know at the end, like you said, it's between them and the Lord at the end, but I don't want it to be that because I did not intercede on their behalf.
Amen. Thank you.
They missed the opportunity because I decided, hey, I don't want to pray for Joe because, you know, I'm tired of praying for Joe. You know, I done prayed, you know, 50 days. Well, it might be 51 that he turned himself over to the Lord.
Amen.
You know,
Thank you. Thank you.
So I just got to keep persevering and let God be God in their lives, you know. I just do my
Amen.
Part and let God do his part.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
I shared with a woman the other weekend. I shared a preacher man. Said, I got my call when I was 7 years old. I didn't accept it until I was 27 years old. But I got my call when I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth to it. I'm not lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
When I was born at 3 months old, my mama and some white people told me, said a cloud appeared over the crib of the bed I was laying in. The light was above it and light was below it, but there was a dark space there. And see, it stayed there for weeks. It said, when it first appeared, I screamed out, a baby about 3 months old, crying and going on. He said, they brought in preachers to pray it out, brought the doctors in to see if they knew, and they even brought a voodoo woman in. Now, they told the truth about it. So we brought her in, there was no other help, but it wouldn't leave, so it was just there. Said, so the way it showed up, it left one day. You know, so I think, and this is me, because Dr. Fault seen me at 16 years old. He told me, said, boy, so much happened to you between the time you was born and the time you was 10 years old. Said, I sit out your bedside many nights, you didn't even know you was in this world. I used to just be playing and feeling good, and then all of a sudden fall into sickness. They told me, Dr. Faust told me, he said, you can feel the heat coming from my body from across the room. So sweat was just pouring off me. So he tried to take me up. They didn't have the ice back then. They had to take me to the spring and hold me down in the spring. So when that cold water hit my body, so I holler and scream. He said, I stayed up for many nights with you. So I wouldn't have thought you'd have made, I wouldn't have thought you'd have lived. And I, then another preacher backed me up, backed him up in because he used to take me to the doctor a lot. Reverend, Pastor, anyway, I forgot his name, London. He was courting my daddy's sister, and every time he come down to see her, I would fall into one of them sicknesses. He would grab me up and put me in the hospital. He said, you could feel the heat coming from your body in the back seat. He'd be burning the back of my neck. And he was talking to my mom about me. He said that Bo lived to be a man because he hadn't seen us in a long time. And she said, there he is standing right. So you walk by him, Pastor London. He turned around and see me how big I was. So, oh, my God. So there is a God. So, boy, you just like a little dish rag and hot to the touch. So many times I nurse you to the doctor. So I don't know why the sickness came on me like that, but my grandmother believed it was the devil trying to kill out somebody that was anointed by God. That's not just what she believed. So no. But I'm still here.
You should write a book about your life. You should write a book if you haven't already.
Woman, about to believe it, ma'am. I tell my next door neighbor a lot of stuff happened to me. I said, man, just listen to me. When I'm dead, they're going to put it in a book. You'll make some money. He said, who going to believe it, y'all? So you're a black man from Mississippi. So who going to believe it?
You ain't got to believe it. Just put it in there. A lot of people
going to
believe it. A lot won't, but a lot will.
Now, have I been guarded like I did some things as a child. Because the devil used to come to me a lot. I share this with Brother Hunter a lot. The devil visited me from the time I was about 5 years old until I turned 16, and he left me alone for a season, and then he started coming back at me in my late 20s. I did some things just to make him leave me alone. But I would do some things, and he would leave me for a season and come back. And I said, you said the last time you wouldn't ask me to do nothing else. So I've been... Like the cartoons, I had the angel on my right shoulder talking to him, and I had the devil on the left side talking to him. I've done some things, man. I'm not proud of. But I know in the end, I know when it's all was said and done, I was going to choose God over the devil.
Amen.
I knew that.
Amen.
You know, because he's a liar. The father lies. When I read this scripture in the Bible, I say, that's all he's been doing to me is lying all these years. He would leave me alone. This is the last thing he'd ask me to do wrong. But he keep coming back at me. When I read that scripture, it took that into my soul. One night he came at me. That's all you doing is lying. You'll be back tomorrow night or a season from now. You'll be back at me again. And I said, in the name of Jesus, simple prayer, how I pray. I'm a simple man, so I pray simple, talk simple. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. He didn't bother me again from about 16 years old till I was 20-something. Then again, he bothered me from 20-something to about 50 years old when my mama died in 2002. He came at me the next year in 2003 trying to get me to do something stupid, to fall down and worship him like he did Jesus in the desert. You just get on your knees and pray to me, worship me. This, I bring your mama back to you. I can raise her from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's been with me in my life. And I tell everybody, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. But I know who to call on. I do know that, ma'am. And I'm not bragging. I just know.
Yeah, you got to know.
The Bible tells you that
all
power is invested in Jesus. God gave him all power when he was resurrected. All power. So I know who to call on. When I can't carry it no more myself, I said, Jesus, it's time for my big brother to take over this here. So I'm a little tired now. And I talk to him just like that. I do. I talk to him just like I'm talking to you, man. That's how I talk to Jesus. I don't put on no airs. It's words I've been learned to be around other people that try to talk over your head. I read the dictionary and studied the whole dictionary. So they can't talk over my head. The doctors love to use big words that nobody else don't understand to show you up. They like to show off the education. No, so I, yeah, paradigm. When a woman mentioned paradigm one day, when I explained it to him, oh, you know that word? I know a whole lot of words, sir. I'm just country. I know a whole lot of words that y'all try to use to put to talk down to us, you know, condescending manners. I know a whole lot of words, you know. Anyway, but getting back to what we was talking about, Jesus is the answer. He's the way out of anything, any situation you in. All you got to do is call on. Now, I know you got something else to say.
No, that was it. That was real good. It might be somebody else. I've been talking too much. It might be somebody else who want to talk to you and ask you some questions.
Sister Cynthia, and if there's anybody out there listening, I do appreciate you calling in and talking. I really do. I've been told I don't hear that I teach out of hate. I don't. I'm going to start teaching out of Jeremiah about the slumber that black men's in. He talks about it. So I'm going to bring it from Jeremiah on through him. When the Holy Ghost said, I got the sermon read on time. I'm going to let him give me the timing when he want me to teach.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
It's not hate. The Bible talks about a lost generation, and there was Ninth Ward people from Louisiana, and there was Fifth Ward people from out here, those young black men. Those are the lost generation that he speaks of. If I could just awaken one of them, man, if one of them would hear the word of God and stand up and realize the black race produced more kings and queens just than did godly things than any other ethnic group have on the face of the earth. The Israelites.
Yeah.
Hamanites. Ham's descendants built the greatest civilization known to mankind. They still can't figure out how he built the pyramids. They don't have a crane big enough to lift the stone to send the pyramids today. How did they get them up there? How? Well, you know, you're figuring out the mathematics, the angle that they found them on. It's a 57 and a half degree angle. They first tried to build them, they built them 2 feet up and they was falling down. So one mathematician finally figured out an angle. Geometry. We gave them geometry. Astrology, medicine, we gave it all to every other ethnic group on the face of the earth, black people, melanated people. In the scriptures, melanated people gave those to. The savior of the world, a melanated man. We ain't black, we melanated. Black is black, and we are not black, we are melanated.
And well, that's one of the biggest things that separates us. That's one of the biggest things that we fight against, is that we don't love our melon.
We don't love ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't, because the way we act, we can't love ourselves as a people. As a whole, we show more hatred towards each other than a white man can show towards us.
Yeah.
We do,
but
so we can talk
to them. And follow God, we'll love ourselves and love our brothers and sisters.
Amen. Thank you.
No, but you gotta, like you said again, you gotta humble yourself before the Lord.
Amen.
And that ain't all.
I have a question.
Okay.
The question I've wrote down. I'm still having some problems with this, with the radio station, but everything is all right. But I wrote two or three questions down. Okay, the first one is Jesus here today? That's question number one.
Is Jesus here today?
Yes, is Jesus
is
here
that
today?
Question? Is he here today? Yes, he is, brother man. Every woman, and I'm going to use the women first, every woman that steps out under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and every man, for God is a color. Now, there's not put no color in this here. Regardless of any ethnic group you come from, if you're knowing about the Holy Ghost and teaching what Jesus taught us, Jesus is present. He's here today. He's here. If he's our Lord and Savior, sir, he's here. If we're teaching under the anointing, the comfort that he prayed for, if we're teaching under that anointing, he's here. I know this. I just feel it in my soul. I feel it.
Question number two. Explain Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews chapter 1. Let me get my Bible out and I'll explain it to you. Do you can you read it? Because you got yours out?
Somebody else got the word. Somebody got Hebrews chapter 1.
Take me a while to find it. I mean, okay, I'm getting close. Wait, let me go back to the. Let me go back and find it this way. It might take. Just give me a minute. Hebrews chapter 1, what page is starting on? Matthew, Mark, where we at? Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, page what? 2019, okay. 2:40. Ephesians. I'll get there in a minute, brother man. I hope somebody else finds it before I do, because I'm a little slow with this. Come on, Mike. You said Hebrews. Here we are, 20. Oh, I'm still 2:40. Okay. Somebody read it, because it takes me a while to get to it for some reason tonight. Please. And I got bad lighting back here, not making excuses, but that's just the truth of it. V says I'm legally blind. Oh. I keep wanting to go to Ephesians for some reason. Galatians. Anybody find it before I do, please read it. He's going to ask if it wasn't important to him. All right, I got it. Hebrews chapter 1. What verse? What verse you want read, brother man? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spoke in time, ooh, I can't see this, passed unto the fathers by the prophet. He was, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also like made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, I can't see this, and the express image of his persons, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay. When he had by himself, what's that, purged out sin, our sins, sit down on the right hand. Ooh, what's the word?
You want me to read it for you, Mr. Charles?
Please, man, because I'm having a hard time. I got my glasses on and still can't see. I suppose there's some operations on my eyes. I just can't see.
Okay. Let me read it. I'll start again. Okay.
I'm sorry. I can read, but I just can't see.
It's all right. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The Son superior to the angels. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be his Father," or "he will be my Son."
And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he said, let all God's angels worship him.
Amen.
And speaking of the angels, he said, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy.
Amen.
He also said, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a roll, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and yours for and your years will never end. And your years will never end. I'm sorry. To which of the angels did God say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?
All right, now, this really, brother man, that book, is the first chapter explaining itself. Jesus is here now. As far as I'm concerned, because you know how I know his word is here. The Bible and all the other scriptures that support him is here. And like I said, God don't change. I said that earlier. He's the same he was in the past. He's the same today. He shall forever be in the future. He will be God. The foundations of the earth, sir. Go ahead.
Well, the Holy Spirit, where is his position right now?
What is this position right now? It's our comforter.
Yes.
It's our leader. When we feeling bad and we feeling down, he comes to comfort us. Hold on. Sun-dry times never promised to everybody. And you have those every day. There's going to be some dark days and rain and lightning and thunder coming to your life. But hold on. Hold on. And that's what he is for now. He's to guide us and to teach us. Everything, if we hold on, I said it earlier, the old gospel song, hold on to God's unchanging hand, like my grandfather taught me. Everything's going to be all right in the end. God's unchanging hand is Jesus. He holds a position of honor, of power, of greatness on the right side. That's why he put
question
it there.
Question number three. Well, let me ask this question. I want to kind of veer to this side. We got some people online with us. Who's in charge of this virus that's going through the earth today? Is it God or the devil? Man, are man created?
Do anybody else on the line want to have something to say about that first? The line's open. Do anybody else have anything they want to say? Now it's time to speak it up. Before I talk on it, I'm going to lift my God. I'm going to hold my God up. I'm going to say this here, brother man. God always
yes,
has
sir.
Been in charge. Being in charge and control is two different things now. Do you understand that? Don't nothing happen wicked on the earth without God's approval. Lucifer, any demon, any of the fallen angels got to go get God's permission to do anything they do to us. That's biblical. I'm going to back that up. That's biblical. And God lets certain things happen to test us. He do. He's in charge, but he's not in control. If he was in control, none of this would happen. Lucifer's still out there doing his job. He was bathed in the glory of God for millions of years until he aspired to go back into heaven and take over. He was kicked out, and his tail took a third of the heavenly host with it. He's the prince of this world. Flesh in the world, he's the prince of it. And his job is to cause certain things to happen. And God tests us to see how many are going to be like Job, no matter what happened to us. go serve God. What did Job say? Yet you may slay me. And that's that God wanted all us that said we follow him, his son, to believe no matter what happens. Trust in him. Trust in him only. I believe that. Do I believe it's a? I believe it was sent by God. It was allowed to happen. I believe Lucifer went to see. Lucifer got influenced with every fallen angel and every demon and other evil thing out there. He has influence over. Did he do? I believe he went to an evil spirit. Evil spirits invaded the scientists. Or some other chemist or whatever they want to call themselves, and I believe it's man-made. But God allowed it to happen. Like, don't nothing else happen without his permission. He allowed it to happen. Like I said, Sister Cynthia had, when it was taught a few teachers, a few lessons ago, some of those teachers said, you know, from what she got out on the Christians, when no Christians go die. But me, I believe during this virus, a lot of real Christians go die. Because this is an appointed time, and we don't know how, what way he going to use to get us up out of here. That's how I tried to explain to her that night. The virus might be my ticket or her ticket up out of here. God can say, you know, suffered enough, my child or child of mine. This is your way out. I'm going to take you into glory with me. So the virus might be some Christian's ticket out of here. But there's a lot of us non-Christians. It's going to attack because of Christians. How can I say without? Christians know who to call on. You know, Christians know how to accept God's will. A Christian, get that word Christian, knows how to accept God's will. Nevertheless, like Jesus prayed, submission. Christian will submit. Let not my will be done, but thine. I done already accepted that. I don't wear no mask when I go in public. I stay in my 6 feet like they asked me to stay in front of them. And I have me a hallelujah. I was at a Walmart today. I could take some business at the bank. I had to open me a account at the bank for something I want to order off the line. I had me a hallelujah good time. And the young Hispanic woman that was waiting on me said, why are you so happy? I said, ma'am, I'm God, let me to see another day that I never seen before.
Let me talk.
She said, you ain't worried about the virus. I said, no. If that's my ticket out, that's my ticket out. That's how I believe.
Can we talk?
Yes, sir.
I like what a lady that was reading the book, to go to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 9. Jude, chapter 1, verse 9.
Use a short book.
Yet Michael, the archangel, so can somebody read it for me?
Dr. Hunter, what is that? Jude 9 and what? One, just that one verse?
Chapter 1, Jude, is next to Revelation.
Yeah.
And verses 1, verse 9.
I got it. Let me attempt to read it, Sister Cynthia, you don't mind it. If I can't
okay,
read
go
it,
ahead. Not
go.
At all.
Yet Michael the archangel, when, not dog, contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Did not being against him a what's that railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Do you know why? Michael didn't say nothing evil against him. This is what my readings I read about this, studied other books about this here. Lucifer once was in charge of Michael. And the position he held was a great position. That's why he didn't say nothing bad about him. Said God, but he's saying to him, God will deal with you. I don't have the authority, but God will deal with you. The respect he held in heaven, the respect he held in heaven, he tried to go back and take the eighth cover was awesome. They all looked up to him because Lucifer means the bringer of light, the light bringer, knowledge. Because a light represents knowledge. Lucifer had knowledge of all things. The sound of every organ, every instrument was placed in him. He was praise worshiping, amongst other things. And they know the position he once held. But that's why he couldn't say nothing bad about it. That wasn't his job. But God came. God will deal with it. Michael don't have the authority. God will deal with it. Sister Cynthia, you or anybody else listening, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
No, I was trying to find out where Dr. Hunter was going with that. I'm listening.
Okay, where you going with it, Dr. Hunter? That is a good question to ask. I should ask a question with a question. You're right.
Okay, well, the question was, there was a human contact and a spiritual contact. We got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we got a fallen angel named Lucifer. And here, he's coming down. And when you look at what God said, get someone read Second Peter, chapter 2. Verses 10, and you'll find the answer. Because I want you to see how important. It's Second Peter. Oh, God, I love you so much.
All right. I got it. Verse 10.
All right.
Okay, let me see what I can do. These are bad ass, but chiefly them who walk after the flesh. But is that chiefly that?
Read on.
The lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil or of dignities. Now, Sister Cindy, could you read it more clearly, please? I have a hard time seeing.
Okay, what was that? Second Peter what?
Chapter 2, verse 10. Tiled in my Bible, false teacher.
Okay, 2 Peter 2:10, and just that verse, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It says, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings.
Okay, Brother Hunter, what do you want to go over this here? It's explaining itself.
Okay, well, I want us to take a deeper look at it because it sees something what Paul... What Second Peter writes and tells us, he said, look, the experience that I've encountered, because God showed me some things, and he said, but that filthy flesh, this flesh we live in is filthy. But when Satan found a time to come in, he challenged everything we have. That's why he wrote the word. He said, I want you to see what I write. If you live as the spiritual body. We live in a spiritual body. We live in a earth body. But there's a three parts of the mind, the soul, and the body. But what God is calling us to, the teaching here is this. The more the closer we walk with him, the more God the Father, God the Son, and God told his ghost right here on the earth realm will show us how to overcome everything. Because as we said earlier, the devil is always challenging us. through our sisters, our brothers, our aunts, our uncles. It's a challenge.
Right. That's what we've been talking on tonight. You just brought us back to the lesson. We've been talking about that tonight.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, but I want you to understand, and I don't, we're on target. Okay,
sir?
We're on target. We're on target, yes, sir. Now, I would like to, if you will permit me, I would like for my sister to go to the third chapter, First Peter, chapter 3, verse 19.
First Peter, chapter 3, verse 19.
Are you there, sister?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, but could you help us out on that one, please?
First Peter 3:19.
It's entitled
The
Will of God in the Bible.
Yes, ma'am. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
Wow. And verse 18?
Wow.
18.
Verse 19.
For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit.
Amen.
Oh, my God. See, when we see what he's done for us, now here's a man that walked close to God. He wrote chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. But he points out here, he said, how does Jesus suffer for us? We must suffer also to be just like him. Do I get upset with my family sometimes? Yes, I do. But sometimes that FLESA, flesh, stands in the way. I'm gonna be nice and not say that. I'm gonna be nice. But I'll say this here. But I would ask Sister Marie go to the fourth, right on down to the fourth, First Peter chapter 4. Are you there, sister?
Hold on 1 minute, Dr. Hunter. Four and what?
All right.
Four and what?
First Peter chapter 4, verse 1.
Okay. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin.
Amen.
Wow. That's God speaking to us in his word. And the closer we walk with him, the more we're going to suffer. Because when the devil knows, when Lucifer knows, the closer you get to the Father, the more he's going to put things on you. And I said it with you because all of a sudden, when I had to go out to the VA, didn't even know what was happening to my body. But God kept a watch over me to suffer for him. I've been through some changes. And when he told me that cancer was trying to come up on my body, I said, not so.
That's
coming back to you, Lucifer. But they said, listen here, sir. The new technology we got today showed it to us. Now, I said, well, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. They said, we understand what you're saying, but if this thing goes viral, you're out of here. I said, well, you know what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, man, don't talk like that. I'm gonna say that Paul said, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Paul said it this way. He said, look, Timothy. He said, I know to be absent from the body, I can be present with the Lord right now. But for you and others, for my sake, I'm going to stay here. And that's what I'm saying to you tonight on keeping God before us in the name of Jesus. I know this much. I know this much about God, what God has done for me. Now, I'm going to tell you everything I've done, but back in my day, before I come to know, I'm going to say like Paul said. Let me tell you, in time past, I was a bad boy. In time past, I tell you what I thought about you. But in time past, I got a little upset. Want to fight? You got that fight. But when I met Jesus, woo, things happened. My God. Woo! And I'm going to tell you something. What's happening in America? Yes, God keeps an eye on what's going on. But you go to the White House, to the Black House, to the Red House, to the Yellow House, lies on top of lies on top of lies. Help me, Lord Jesus. When we got a baby out there that's been molested by some man who's supposed to say he knows Jesus, he's a liar. When you got some woman who said, I'm loving love with the Lord, but you got four or five men hanging on her. When you got somebody out saying, but I said it to a sister today, that witch came down and got in the midst of everybody and tried to destroy him. And so when she comes in, she don't even have any respect for God. And she done told Lucifer, your power is limited. Watch me get there and move things around. And so what we have to do more, slow down, Hunter, slow down, Hunter, slow down, Hunter. What we have to do more now than the Lord, we have to say, Lord, I trust in you. I don't have nowhere else to go but to you, Lord. And see, the more we talk to God, the more we talk about God, he says, that's my son and that's my daughter down there. And he said, look at the joy I'm getting out of them. Oh, they get their head beat. They get lied on. But they still give me praise. What glory. Ooh-wee. God, it's been so good to us tonight.
Amen.
Am I by myself? Am I by myself?
No, sir. You got me and Sister Cynthia. Y'all know that. We stand in agreement with you, so God is in the midst of us.
Well, I want to say one more. Can I have another word or two?
Yes, sir.
In America, the top half has lied several times. So what do I do? I pray that he be saved. Not to continue to do what he's doing. When you take those women and start beating up on them women, it's time for men to step in.
Amen.
But sometimes I ask a man, two or three men at the VA, I say, what do you think about it? Well, you know, I'm not going to get in that fight. I say, you know what? But the woman is out there fighting your fight.
Amen.
What? I said, yeah. But here's what you got to take into consideration. Man was made first, and the woman was made for the man. We're supposed to be protecting him.
Amen.
We are the lions of Judah.
Amen.
We can roar, but those lions have to stay around and be protected by us. Am I right, somebody?
Yes, you're right. You see it on the internet all the time. When those lions get in trouble,
oh,
they call that big male, and he come solve everything. Just one lion can put 50 hyenas to flight. One male lion king. I've seen.
Well, I'm gonna say the last words. I think we got about 3 minutes. And I'm gonna let our sister have the last few words that she desires to.
Amen. Come on, sister. Come on,
no, I'm good. I'm listening to y'all. I'm good. I'm very good. I'm listening.
You ain't got a quarter to pitch in the race?
Not right now. I done gave
all
my
right
change.
Well, Sister Cynthia,
yes,
Brother
sir.
Hunter, and all those that were listening tonight that wouldn't join in, if any of my listeners wouldn't join in, I've had a good old time tonight. Thank you for your support of the kingdom. Thank
Amen.
You, Brother Hunter, for making this possible for us to get on the radio to talk about God's kingdom.
Amen.
I'm very appreciative. I've been walking because I left Mississippi in 2010 by myself, basically. And the Lord kept pouring knowledge into me. I said, God, I ain't been in the pulpit since 1996. Why you keep saying, you asked for it. That's why I'm giving it to you. So, all right, Lord, have your way. And he started with revealing things to me. And when I met Brother Hunter on the prosthetic floor out there, on the prosthetic flail, he heard me. And I gave him my phone number. His wife took down my phone number. And I got a phone call from him. He told me what he was trying to do. He said, I told him, I ain't spoken a long time, Brother Hunter. So I got a lot to say, but I ain't spoken a long time. He said, you get on the radio, and the more you talk, the better you'll get, and it's happening. I'm not bragging, but from where the first night I was on to now, I'm getting better and better at my speaking again. As long as I let the Holy Ghost lead and guide me, say just what he said, and don't add nothing to it, don't dilute it, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the words he gives me, just quit it, just stop it when you tell me to stop it. I'm getting better and better at it, and I pray my prayers that I continue to get better. I got a lot of knowledge I want to share that God then gave to me. Got a whole lot I want to share. Inclusive, I told Brother Hunter, said King David said he would just be the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to say it to the day I die. I said, just let me be the man that sweep the floor. And every once in a while, I'll throw me a bone with some flesh on it. So I'll be happy, Brother Hunter. I'll be happy. Just sweeping the floor out for the saints to live. I'll be happy. And I am. I'm joyous. I'm delightful. He included me, inclusion. I was excluded back home because I used to be able to go through scripture and by memory just go from the Old Testament to the New Testament and quote chapter and verse. There's a lot of them jealous of that. They'll let me speak once at the church and wouldn't invite me back. The church, the people would be in agreement for me coming back. But most of the old pastors that was hooping and hollers, they wouldn't bring me back. And one of them, a member, asked me, I had spoken at their church one time, and she wanted to know why I wouldn't come back. I said, Brother, I won't call his name. I done asked him to come back and say, he said no. I said, so that's it. He's y'all's pastor, so that's it. So she didn't believe me. I was working on her house, and she called him up the next day. He came down there, and he explained to her why he wouldn't let me back. So I got one learning man, Pete, down there, hometown boy. I've been looking at my shoulders at him all these years. Now I got to be bothered with a second one, so not on my watch. So either one of them can take y'all away from me. That's why he wouldn't invite me back to knowledge. He wouldn't invite me back. And that's been that way back home. I can speak once, but they get inwards in that. But I told you tonight, that hate, that jealousness, that envy, that strife, they wouldn't bring me back. I shared a poem with them. The last time I spoke in one of the churches back home was in 1992, Black Houston Month, and I got a poem called I Am Black. And I was reading that poem, and they was falling out, beating the Holy Ghost off of them. It failed. The Holy Ghost failed under them knowing. I talked about us being the Son of God. The earth was I was born. The womb until God called us forth from the womb, Adam. And breathed into his life, the breath of life, until so we became a living soul, so there was a spirit he placed in us. I did all the teachings taught that day about us, the kings and the queens that come from the womb of black women. And they wouldn't bring me back no more after that. The leaders of the church sitting there staring at me when the rest of them was falling out shouting and amen and teach, teach, teach. They wouldn't bring me back. I just want to be included. I'm not trying to show nobody up. What I am trying to do is show that if God can use me, he can use anybody. Thank you, Brother Hunter. Thank you, Sister Cynthia.
Thank you. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for going forth and doing what thus says the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. That's all we all should do. Say, thus says the Lord. Like Jesus, every word that proceeds out of my mouth, it's not me speaking, it's my Father. It's my Father. And he told me to stand, like John T. Key wrote that song. Even that song is my call sign. Even if it calls me my best of friend, my family, I'm going to make a stand for holiness, righteousness, godliness. I'm going to make a stand. And I thank Brother Hunter for giving me the, what you said, the pulpit to speak out of. I thank him. I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful for you supporting me, the word of God, not me, God's word. I'm grateful for that. If you don't ever get nobody else but the three of us on the line, we can have a hallelujah good time with amongst the three of us.
Amen.
We can do that. Do anybody want to close this out with a prayer? Brother Hunter? We lost him again, I think.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, dear God.
Amen.
We thank you for being the one and only true God. We thank you for allowing us to be humble before you, dear God, for allowing us to be even in your presence, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We thank you for your son Jesus that died on the cross, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that reigns here on the earth with us because we need you, Lord. We can't be without you. Lord God, I ask that you continue to bless each and every person on the line. Dear God, especially the speaker, Mr. Charles, that you will continue to pour into him more and more and more, and that you will give him the boldness, dear God, and the firmness to do what you say do, dear God, when you say to do it. And, Lord God, touch and bless him in a mighty way that it does not matter what people think, what people have thought of unfairness, injustices that he has gone through in his life, as we all do as we pick up our crosses and follow you. But let him continue to stand firm on your word. And I ask that you continue to bless Dr. Hunter, keep him, strengthen him, and we thank you for the healing that you are performing in him right now, dear God, from head to toe.
Amen. Amen.
We thank you, Lord God, that you're doing it once again, dear God, full healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. And, Lord God, continue to bless each and every person on this line. You know their hearts. You know what they need. You know what we need more than what we need. Teach us how to pray as we should. Love as we should, give mercy as we should, trust you as we should, because we are committed to following you, dear God, this day and all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, we honor you, we glorify you, and we say hallelujah, for you rose for
hallelujah.
Our sins, and we
hallelujah.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Sandra. Beautiful
thank
prayer.
Thank God. Thank God.
Thank you. Haven't said
thank
that.
God.
May the